In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Charlie Plum was a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. He was a jet fighter pilot in Vietnam, and after 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. And Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy lands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist prison. He survived that ordeal and now even lectures about lessons he learned from that experience. Years later, one day, when Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, "You're Charlie Plum. You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." Plum asked him, "How in the world did you know this?" "I packed your parachute," the man replied. Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man pumped his hand and said, "I guess it worked." One of St. Paul's favorite ways of teaching about our life in the church is that of the church being as a body, that the members of the body neither argue with each other, nor envy each other, nor dispute about their relative importance. Each part of the body carries out its own function, however prominent or however humbly unseen that function may be. And it was St. Paul's conviction that the church should be like that. Each of us has a task to do, and it's only when each contributes the help of his own task that the body of Christ, the church, functions as it should. If you picked up a bulletin, if you see your bulletins, we read from today's epistle from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And this is a phenomenal book in the New Testament that teaches us so much about ecclesiology and being a member in the church, the body of Christ. And today's reading begins from chapter 12, verse 6, but if we read the preceding two verses before that, it reads as follows. "For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And the epistle reading is a short one, so I'd like to read it again if you'll allow me. "Brethren, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving. He who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal, but aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." This passage offers so much to us. First of all, it urges us to know ourselves. We do not get very far in this world until we know what we can and cannot do. An honest assessment of our own capabilities without conceit or false modesty is necessary. With this, it also urges us to accept ourselves and use the gift that God has given us. We are not to envy someone else's gift and regret that some other gift has not been given to us. We are to know and accept where we are and use the gift that we have. And I'll be completely honest with you, as a clergyman, this is incredibly hard for me as well. We priests are constantly comparing ourselves to one another, thinking, "Why can't I be like that priest? Look how good a preacher he is. He has all these great ministries and podcasts. He's a writer. He has books and all these things going on." We look on with envy, when our prayer should be, "Lord, whatever you call me to do, wherever you see me fit to minister, let it be done." While we're not sure of the gifts we will be given throughout our lives, we can be sure of one thing. we must use these gifts to the fullest, not neglecting any measure of it. This epistle calls to mind our own spiritual gift or ministry. Each of us is called to examine before God what our particular vocation is, what gift I have received that I should share with others. And with this, I also bear in mind, we should all bear in mind, that every action or situation we find ourselves in, whatever, wherever God places us in any moment, constitutes in itself a sort of temporary vocation or ministry. There is a special grace corresponding to each minute of my life, if that minute is offered to God. No detail in life is without importance or without a blessing, as long as one knows how to see, in that detail, the reflection of a divine gift, calling for a loving and trustful response on our part. While we pray fervently for our spiritual growth, and that God's grace provides us additional grace and gifts in that growth, we also always pray that we fulfill who we are called to be by God, not by this world, not by our own standards, not by society's standards, but whoever God calls us to be, and whatever He tasks us to do, that we fulfill this in the measure of our faith. This is, of course, another way of praying, "Thy will be done." Perhaps one of the most difficult things to sincerely pray for, that whatever we might desire, whatever we might want to be known for, whatever we might want to accomplish, that we pray, "Lord, above all, whatever you call me to be, that I may fulfill that calling. Thy will be done." We may not be sure in what ways we function within the body of Christ, but from our most mundane activities and tasks to our most significant life moments, we need to continue to pray that it all be done for the glory of God. Some of us may be called to be fighter pilots, while others are called to pack the parachutes, to the glory of God. Some may be called to be first chair in an orchestra. Others are called to play the simple triangle, to the glory of God. Some may be called to be Michelin star chefs, while others are called to plant the seeds that grow into the food that's served in those restaurants, to the glory of God. Some may be called to be NASCAR drivers. Others are called to change the tires, to the glory of God. Some of us are called to be entrepreneurial business people, while others are called to the holy task of raising children and tending to the sacredness of the home, to the glory of God. Some are called to serve at our Lord's altar table, while others are called to hold the cloth to protect the most sacred Eucharist from falling to the floor, all to the glory of God. Let your workplace be your altar table. May it be sanctified, holy, and always for the glory of God. Amen.